Blog Talk Radio.
Forward then,
to independence now.
Tomorrow,
the United States.
Yeah, they say those who do not move do not feel their change, but the African people aware of their pain, aware of the game, invader deception, black presidents who are white man extensions, people from Cape to Cairo rebel, cause fake independence and ongoing hell, colonial ties still keep them chained, the richest continents getting robbed again, the IMF and World Bank criminal schemes, what about reparations? To me it seems that every metropole from Amsterdam to Paris and Brussels was built with the hands of African labor, a slave relation, developing Europe at expense of the nation. But Africans rebel from the first conquest till flag independence at last accomplished.
Il y en a qui demandent la lutte contre l'impérialisme. L'impérialisme, regardez dans vos affaires, quand vous mangez les grains de riz, de maïs, de mil importés. C'est ça l'impérialisme, n'allez pas plus loin.
Yeah. Hey yo, the spirit of Lumumba lives on in Congo, like Thomas Sankara in Burkina Faso. Zamora Michelle, it was Viva Frelimo, but Mozambique still fighting for freedom. Why did these three who dare to invent the future then clash to the fullest extent with the colonizers? If we open eyes, if we can see the rich whites, we're scared of rising African power, real independence, a people's politics, anti-capitalism. So they stifle their growth in every way, so that South Africa looks colonized today. For any flaws of Mugabe, that ain't what they hate. Zimbabwe's not a colony, make no mistake. Look at AFRICOM, the African command. That's the US and a puppet shaking each other's hands. Divide and conquer is a hell of a tactic. They blame Africa for relations that backward. The whole basis was plunder from outside Rwanda, Uganda. The Sudan's divides, pushing forward war for precious coltan. So cell phones and PCs are sold in lands where people don't know how they were constructed. Your Windows now functions from a child's destruction.
Greetings and peace and power to all of our beautiful listeners at this present time. I just want to say thank you very much on behalf of Jewish Blog Talk Radio for all of our listeners tuning in tonight. I hope that you've had a powerful beginning of your week and that your week will continue to be even more powerful. At this present moment, we're here to speak about there being no room at the round table or at the table. And we're going to give Sister Rue, I just want to thank you also for being on with me tonight. And we're going to recap.
Thank you for having me, Sue.
Thank you. We're going to recap on the no room at the table and some of the things that we talked about and discussed that were wholeheartedly felt and acknowledged 100% was how most people, parents, members of the church, family members, et cetera, how we allow predators into our state, whether it be the boyfriend, whether it be the preacher, whether it be the teacher, there is no room. And when we say no room, we mean no room. No room for okaying and approving their behaviors. There is no room for making excuses and trying to make family members, mothers, sisters, brothers forgive and apologize for a behavior that was done unto them. And parents, please know that we're here for you. Don't beat yourself up. Mothers, fathers, children, don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. Find that healing. Focus on yourself. Dig deep within, because the person that commits such an act towards you, they're sick. Mm-hmm. And as Sister Sharonda spoke about that forgiveness piece, how they want us to forgive so quick, forgive that person so quick, But what about you? What about self? What about the person that was mistreated? Mm-hmm. Sister Rue, could you elaborate a little more on that for us?
Sure. Just to recap, just to get everybody like back on track, it was like a couple of weeks ago when we had this conversation, but we got a lot of messages and a lot of phone calls saying, look, can y'all do another segment on that? And we know how deep this discussion can go in our families, communities, churches, everywhere. So we was like, okay, it's only fair that we, you know, do some follow-up segments. So today is a full moon. So we're going to do something special with you all towards the end of the show. And so while we're going through the show, I want everybody to gather a couple of things that you're going to need at the end of the show. And that would be a glass of water. That would be a candle, lighter or matches. And you also need a pen and paper. So yeah, while we're going through the show, just make sure you get those essential things that we're going to use later, and we'll explain exactly what to do with them later. But in the meantime, you know, once we start working towards the end of the show, if you can get to a quiet space where, you know, it's just you, where you don't have too many distractions, that would be really good. But to go back on what we had discussed on the first go-round, so we focusing on family restoration, we focusing on healing, we focusing on community restoration, and the high tolerance for pedophiles. We have to set our standards. If no one else in the community, if no one else in the family, if no one else at the job, at the church, at the school, if nobody else is doing it, we have to take our positions, and we have to be the ones to say, look, no more. You're not welcome. You know, we're not allowing you into our spaces anymore. All of that. Somebody has to be the one to stand strong. And we want to give people that strength. We here because we're going to be the ones to stand strong in our community and then, you know, in our homes and everything. So we want to build each other. We want to build that collective strength. And we want to normalize not allowing predators into our spaces because we've been functioning in a very, like, toxic and dysfunctional way by allowing this to go on and by normalizing these people to continue to offend people and to even give these people the opportunity to offend someone else. So we are normalizing the fact that we're not going to allow them into our spaces, and we're going to give each other the courage and the strength to make that happen, to keep our family and our community safe. If no one else will, we're going to be the ones to set this tone. So that was what the show was basically about. And we also had touched on apology. No one is above giving an apology. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you're whatever role you play in a child or a person's life, and you're supposed to be that person's protector, whether it's a person who may be an elder, so they can't protect themselves anymore. It may be someone who's disabled, so they're not able to protect themselves. So it's not always just a child. But if you have disappointed, if you have failed to protect that person, if you have failed to acknowledge what happened to that person, whether it was verbally or physically, because we tend to, like, downplay verbal assault. So if you have been a person and this person life that was assaulted, whether it's verbally or physically, and you have not acknowledged it, you know, and you failed to protect that person, You need to apologize. No matter what your role in that person's life is, if you're the parent, you're not above and giving an apology just because you're the adult in the situation. So, we ask everybody to evaluate themselves if you ever found yourself in a situation like that and you feel like, you know, it's something that I maybe should have done differently to protect this person, or this person shared something with me and I basically didn't even acknowledge it because it was too heavy and, you know, you didn't know how to deal with it. So you just didn't deal with it. You can apologize to that person. That would mean a lot to that person just to have something acknowledged. So we asked, you know, who's going to be the family's liberator. If you're going to be the family's liberator, certain things come with that. People going to be upset with you. That's normal for them to do that. It's not really normal because you shouldn't have to do that, but, like, is the way that our families and the way that our communities are functioning right now, is I'm saying that it's normal for people to be upset with you for voicing, being, you know, strong about not wanting to be bothered with pedophiles in your spaces. But we want to clear the air, and we want it known that's not a normal thing. That person should be praised for being able to have the strength and courage that the rest of the family didn't have to stand up to a predator and say, no, you're not welcome. Don't come back. But instead of that person being praised, we finding that person is getting the wrath even more than the predator. So we want to kill that too. And even if you don't have support from your family, you have support from us. If you ever want to reach out to us, if you want to call, even if you want to remain anonymous and you just know that you need some support because your family's giving you a hard time about this situation because you don't want Aunt Sheila or you don't want the cousin or the uncle or the pastor, you don't want them around no more. So all of a sudden, everybody giving you a hard time when you haven't done nothing wrong, but you're going to stand up against it. And you saying, look, I'm going to be my family's liberator. I'm not going to go on allowing this toxic behavior like it's normal. This is not normal.
We're here
for the support. You know, however we can be supportive, we're here. And that, so we just wanted to acknowledge, because we didn't want to put it out there like, look, you be your family's liberator and you stop this cycle. That comes with a price, because people are so used to going along to get along and so used to being in the toxic settings that we get mad with the wrong people. So we're not saying like it's going to be roses. I don't care what type of freedom fighter you are,
right?
You always going to get resistance from the very people that you're trying to help sometimes. So just know that comes with it. But you have other people to support you, even though the ones that you may be trying to protect the most might not understand at the time, or just, you know, maybe going through something on their own in regards to, so they can't really see past their own personal selfish reasoning behind not wanting to do the right thing by the family. So, you know, if anybody ever need to talk about anything because they are being the family liberator and they going through some things, their family, we here.
We are here.
Also, that happens in the community. Like, you know, it's been a whole lot of it going on social media, because we had the Bill Cosby thing come out. Then we had the R. Kelly thing. Then we had recently, like, the Morgan Freeman thing. It's, like, so much stuff coming out in our community. And I'm not even talking about Hollywood. I'm not even talking about Hollywood. Because they had their, you know, Me Too thing come out. One of those Hollywood guys, I forgot, maybe Harvey Weinstein, he just He just got arrested. So we're going to see what happens in court. But, you know, we understand white privilege, so we understand he might get a slap on his wrist. But it's like people get so attached to these personalities and to these celebrities. They upset and they want to argue with you on social media because you don't have no remorse for this pedophile. They want to debate you. They want to argue with you as to why, well, you know, these women, why they coming out 30 years later. It don't matter. If it was 50 years later, you don't know why a person is not coming out. Number one, when a person comes out about anything like that, they know that they're going to be shamed. They're going to be scrutinized, every little detail, what she had on, what was she looking like. Did she have on a bunch of makeup? Was her skirt short? Was she intoxicated? Where was she? Was, you know, what time of night it was? But we don't, you know, we don't create rapists by what we wear or what we look like. If you a rapist, you gonna rape somebody. They might have on baggy pants and a baggy T-shirt. But if you a rapist, the clothing is not going to turn you into that rapist at that moment. So we talked about that. We touched on that about. So let me tell y'all real quick. So everybody know the R. Kelly stories about how he got these sex dungeons. And, you know, we knew back when Aaliyah was still alive and he secretly married her. She was still a child. But he's a known pedophile. Everybody know that he goes after the youngest women. He's been tied up into all kinds of controversy when it comes to that. But so Spotify, it may have been some other type of things like that too, but I know for a fact Spotify said, look, you know, somebody got to start taking a stand. We taking his music. We not supporting the pedophile. We taking his music off of our app. So they removed his music, and so many people, I saw online, so many people upset saying, if y'all take his music off, I'm ending my subscription. So is that serious out here where you're going to boycott a business because they don't want a pedophile? But, you know, that's how deep the sickness runs when people support pedophiles. So they said that ever since he was taken off of Spotify, like his live streaming, whatever he do, his live streaming jumped up. I forgot how many numbers, but it like more than tripled. So he's still selling concert tickets, and his tickets be like maybe $800 and whatnot sometimes. But why? It's like people get drawn into these celebrities, and they treat them like deities, and they act like I can't let them go, you know. And they deitize them, and they do the same thing, though, you know, when it's people close to you that's not celebrities. It's like some part of them is like, I can't let it go. I know he a pedophile. I know he raped my cousin. I know he always dating young girls. I know she molested these boys that she was babysitting. You know, I know she molested her nephews. It's like they can't let it go. It's like a sickness. So, like, we just got to start talking about these things and get this stuff out in the open, clear the air, and let people know, like, this is not normal. For somebody to be that gung-ho into supporting a pedophile, that you're going to cancel a subscription because the business is trying to send a message to say we're not going to support this type of person, you should support that person. Like, you should support that business for standing up against that type of thing. Because if it was you or your child, you're going to want everybody to protest. You're going to want somebody in jail. And that's sometimes because not all people, you know, the parents are going to dismiss things a lot too. But a lot of people feel like if it's not directly affecting them or their household, they ain't worried about it. So what if Bill Cosby was a rapist? So what if he gave those women Quaaludes or whatever they call. So what if he picked up his prescriptions? So what if he had a wife? I liked him on the Cosby Show. That's a character. That is not a real life person. So
right.
It's like we can't separate. Like we can't separate it. I don't understand. But I find it very sickening and disturbing. So when we see that type of behavior, we got to be like, look, this is not normal. Like, what you doing? You may be used to it, but you may be used to functioning that way. But look, this is not normal. So one of the other things we talked about was policing our own communities. Certain things happen in the family. Certain things happen in the community. I personally feel law enforcement don't need to be even get called in all the time. Certain things need to be handled quietly.
Yep.
And we don't have to even have those type of discussions. It should be family members in every family that you can call on when something like that happens, when somebody is assaulted. You should be able to pick up their phone and call so-and-so and know that they're going to handle that for you. And every family, every child deserves to have that comfort to know I'm going to be protected if I'm ever assaulted, and my perpetrator will never be allowed to be around me again. I'm not going to have to sit next to them or at the table with them at Thanksgiving. You know, when Christmas comes around, I'm not going to have to worry about them coming around. Everybody deserves that amount of protection and security. We should have that within every family and within every community. I personally feel like certain things should never even make it to court. And we know when it comes to sexual crimes against women and children and men too, it's treated like something very minor. It's not treated like you ruining somebody's life. You know, you could sell a little bit of crack or a little bit of weed. You know, you're gonna get it handed to you. And yeah, you can rape a child or rape a woman, and you might get a couple of months. I just talked to. Right, yeah, and sometimes they get in probation. You know, and with the young white privileged boys, they're not even doing jail time. Because they saying, like, oh, that environment is going to be detrimental to them. That environment is not going to be therapeutic for them. It's not going to be, they're not going to be able to rehabilitate in that type of environment. Okay, so, you know, they've been raping, like, left and right and getting away with it. But that's my thing. I see, like, stuff like that happen. They coming home, they not relocating. They going to the same houses that they've been living at, going to the same schools, going to the same churches, and just walking around like it's nothing. To me, that should never happen. If one of the males in the family can't take care of that, then who can? You can't always rely on the justice system to take care of things and to keep people safe. So if the family can't work that out to keep them safe, you know, from predators, it's like real disheartening and disappointing to see the constant letdown of men in the family not standing up in their rightful places. All situations cause for different things. But we see too often that the men in the family are real passive about these type of things, and I don't know if it's because they are the aggressors in the situations like that sometimes themselves. So it's like, you know, they see themselves in the mirror. Is either that, or it's either, you know, it's just been going on for generations and we're not going to address this. You know, we're just going to let it slide. Somebody might holler at whoever and say don't come back around again or whatever. But anyway, it ain't much going on, point blank. It ain't much going on, and it should be handled differently, but it's not. So we have to, like, have the self-defense on deck. We have to be proficient in that area. We have to teach our children the self-defense so that they know, you know, if so or, and I'm saying the family members and the friends and things like that, because that's who is your predator most of the time, who's the perpetrator, the people that are close to you. It's usually not a stranger. That happens as well, but it's usually somebody that you trust and somebody that's close to you. So we want to make sure we have the self-defense on deck for the women and the children, you know, the boys and the girls, and to have the open conversations with them and have the uncomfortable conversations where you have to talk about the body parts and you have to start having them conversations early. Talking about the body parts, talking about, you know, somebody touch you here, this is not normal. You know, if talking about the a lot of men who have came out and said, you know, my first sexual experience was with my babysitter. So that's happening a lot. So we got to be mindful. It's kind of like a double standard when you have a son. People raise the boys to think that if you get an attention from a woman, whether she's 10, 20 years older than you, you know, it's like they high-fiving them. And they taking these little boys' innocence away before these little boys even know who they are. So it's like if you have a babysitter and you 8 and 9 years old, they may tell somebody, so-and-so touched them or whatever. They're going to make the little boy feel like, oh, she did. And, you know, like they dapping them up like, okay. They trying to get their son's first experiences as early as possible. And it's like, you know, the little boys be exploited. It's not, you know, it's not cool for them to get exploited like that. It's not, you know, and it's like we got to treat them with respect and we got to teach them to hold themselves in high regards, just like we teach the girls, like, you know, nobody wants their daughter having sex, definitely, at an early age. Nobody wants, you know, if you could say that your daughter is a virgin when she get married, that's like a badge of honor. But for a son to get married and say he was a virgin, it would be like a badge of shame for him. Like, people would laugh about that, you know, and make jokes about it. But we should teach them that they're sacred. They're just as sacred as we are. And it's not cool the way it's like a double standard when it comes to them. And I feel sorry for them because it's like they expected to have sex. And they got, you know, the older men in the communities that's encouraging that. So we got to pay attention to our boys and make sure that, you know, people trying to save money, summertime, school getting ready let out. So, you know, the kids might be a little bit older, 10, 11, 12, 13. They don't want to pay a babysitter. You know, they might not want to send them to a camp or whatever like that. So they're going, oh, so-and-so, you know, she just graduated. She out of school. She 18, 19 years old, looking to, you know, make a little bit of money babysitting or whatever. So somebody might pay $40, $50 a week to babysit. But it might be at the son losing his virginity or your son being sexually exploited. And he may not want to say nothing because he may have told a male and they may have made him think that that's normal or that's something that should happen. Like, how dare you complain about somebody giving you some type of sexual attention or giving you some sexual experience. So we have to be mindful. Was you saying something, Sid?
No, I just said in the sick and see so many times, just to piggyback off of what you're saying, and so many times when we become older, after being, whether it was being subjected to being molested or being touched or being, you know, something sexual said to us and, you know, hushing us, and then as women and men get older, then they have that trust issue and they fail in their relationship. That's why. you know, because no one ever do it for them, or no one ever had these conversations with them, or no one ever protected them, so that they think that that is okay and appropriate behavior. So, you know, it hurts you in the long run. If we don't catch it early, and if we don't come together in a unity and unity, we're setting ourselves up for failure. It's not okay, and it's not accepted, you know. And as you said, yes, people are going to call you a liar. They're not going to want to believe you. But we know that it's okay. Call me a liar, but I'm still going to protect what's mine.
Exactly. Exactly. Especially like sis got two, you know, young boys, and you know, they on point. They can they young, but they able to point out misogynistic behaviors. You know, just from being around, from sis teaching them different things. So you're not about to be saying any old type of thing about a woman around them without them checking you like, look, no, you know, that's not right. You shouldn't say that. But it's like the, you know, people, you see the videos where people getting the little boys lap dances and, you know, they taught a lot of times to be aggressive. And it's like we got to reverse that and start teaching them, like, the aggression that they have been taught for so many generations. That's not normal, like the cat calling, the hanging out the window. You know, and sometimes it's so aggressive that women scared not to get their phone numbers because dudes getting mad and they throwing drinks. They throwing food on them. Oh, you think you all that? And, you know, like, you know, it get real dangerous out here for us just because we don't want to talk to men sometimes. So it's like these little boys got to learn. We got to teach them at an early age how to, you know, protect themselves, what's not normal for somebody, you know, trying to sexualize and exploit them. And then we also got to teach them what's aggressive and what's normal, what's not normal. Like, it's not normal, you know, but it was normal for us in school. For like a like being middle school, it was normal for a boy to just walk up to you and grab you on your butt. It was like, you might push him, you might slap him, but, you know, it wasn't a big deal. And it just happened all the time. Like, we got to teach them that type of stuff is not normal. Like, keep your hands to yourself. And, you know, even if, oh, my God, this is like countless situations to think about. Like,
yeah.
I remember a young girl, she was drunk, and she was passed out. So my boyfriend was like, man, you know, I had to just take so-and-so in the house over there and lock the door because she just came home from the club, and she drunk. She couldn't even get into the house. So we take her into the house. Somebody overhears him telling me that, and when I say ran, he was running like he was running from the police. To go to this girl's house to see if he could get into there while she was drunk and passed out, you know, incapacitated. He gonna try to take advantage of her. So my boyfriend stopped him. But I'm like, dang, you know, that's the type of time that people be on. They looking for a vulnerable person to take advantage of. So we got to teach somebody, look, it's not normal to be having sex with somebody who passed out.
No.
And that's the type of conversation terrible. You don't think you got had with people. Who want to have sex with somebody that's passed out? But they doing it. You know what I'm saying? Just like Bill Cosby was giving, you know, that was his thing. He wanted to give get the women the prescription Quaaludes or whatever. So they basically passed out. And I don't know. I can't really say he was taking them, because if it was having people pass out, how was he able to take, you know, it's like he wouldn't be able to take or whatever, but the women seem to always be like passed out, barely able to remember, a little blur here and there. So why are you getting off by having sex with somebody who's basically in like a lifeless state? So it's like, right, exactly. So we got to get the boys young and be like, you know, it's a lot of type of stuff go on out here. This type of stuff ain't normal. I don't want you to be a part of that. If you ever have any thoughts like that, let me know. You know, we got to make therapy something that's normal, too. If we don't know how to handle something, we just be cool with, like, we're going to pray about it and we're going to leave it. But the underlying issue, we still haven't addressed. So a lot of people's family, they shame people for going to therapy. Like, oh, you're going to see a shrink, or you're going to sit on somebody's couch. But that's how generations go by without the proper healing, because people don't know how to handle it. And they, it's like a going to therapy is kind of like a taboo in the Black community. Like, you don't go to therapy. You might go to a pastor for some type of counseling, but outside of that, you're not really going to therapy. So we got to make that something that's normalized too. Because we don't want, you know, if we're not able to really help a person, we don't want them to feel like it's not okay to go get professional help. It's okay to go get professional help.
Yes, it is. Because mm-hmm. you deserve a balanced life. You deserve mm-hmm. a normal life. You deserve to communicate. You deserve that healing. So,
that's
yes,
right.
get professional help. Seek it.
Right, and if you know that you're like your family been through similar things, so they're not able to really help you, and they might be the type of family that's gonna brush it under the rug because the abuse is generational and they lived through it and their mama lived through it, so they just know the best way that their mother went through it, and you know maybe not talking about it, repressing it, but not ever dealing with it. If you be like, look. Come on, Ma. Come on, Grandma. We need to go to therapy. Like, the way we have been functioning is not normal, and I want to break the cycle so that we can move forward and heal properly. You know, just do family therapy if you need to. But if they're not open to it, then you might need to just, you know, you got to do what works for you. If they're not open to it, then you might have to just go by yourself, because you don't want that generational curse to continue with your offspring. And the thing about women, when women have children, and especially when women are carrying a girl, the girl inside of you has all of the eggs that she will ever have in her ovaries while she's still inside of you. So the things that she experienced while she's in your stomach, if it's good experiences, if it's bad experiences, those experiences, like, we hold in our womb. We pass stuff down through generations within our womb. You know, when people think, oh, such and such happened, how would they know about that? They weren't born then. But we inherit things like fears. We inherit certain emotions. Like, somebody may be terrified every time they see a certain object, or every time they see a certain person, or, you know, they might not want to go to a certain place, like, say, for instance, they might not want to go to the river, and they might just be petrified. And you might find out, oh, you know, my great-grandmother drowned at the river. So that's why, like, things get passed down to us, so we have to be mindful. Like, we think that things, it just happened in the past and it's over. No, like, if that stuff is not properly released, we carry that energy, we carry those feelings, whether it's negative or positive, and that has something to do with the baby that's inside of your womb, that has something to do with their womb experience. And then they born, and they still have that with them. So if we're not properly healing, we thinking that just because it might have stopped at your generation, that is not going to affect your children, but that's not true. We passing that energy on, and we got to be mindful of it. We got to be mindful that the healing, the proper healing, has to take place. Otherwise, you have children experiencing emotions and different things like that that they cannot even explain, and it's something that they simply inherited because it was never released. So how can you try to deal with trauma that, you know, you actually didn't even engage in. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it has to be healing going on within the family. Like me and the sister, sometimes we get together and mm-hmm. we go to the riverside and we might do little different exercises, little healing rituals, and we, you know, honor and acknowledge our maternal ancestors who went through a whole lot. We all know through the Ma'afa, the slave trade and all of that, we know that a lot of our maternal ancestors went through a whole lot, having children by your family members, constantly being raped, having children by plantation owners, all kinds of sickness, just, you know, forced to breed and breed and breed and breed. And that we think that that does not affect us. It definitely does. So we go to the river, we honor and acknowledge our maternal ancestors, and, you know, we ask if we are carrying any of that energy that they carried because they were molested, because they were raped, because they were forced to have children by people they didn't want to have children with. So they had to feel powerless. They had to be afraid. They had to be anxious, stressed out all of the time. So we ask, if we inherited any of those negative things, we want to release it. And we want to honor them, and we want to acknowledge what they went through. And we want them to have a healing as well. So that's one of the things that we do to break the cycle if there are underlying energies that we're carrying that we may not even realize. That's some of the things that we do to break the cycle. And the other thing, basically the last thing that we had talked about on the last show was forgiveness. And forgiveness is not a requisite for healing. It's very misunderstood. And the focus should be on how you're going to move forward and heal. The focus should not be on how I should not feel about my perpetrator. You have a right to be angry. You have a right to be upset. And as long as it is not debilitating to you to the point where, like, you're not able to manage and go about your day-to-day activities with eating, you know, having relationships with other people, as long as it's not consuming you to the point where it's affecting you physically, spiritually, emotionally, you have a right to be angry. Nobody can tell you, like, this person did this to you 20 years ago, you shouldn't still be upset when you think about it. Like, you should. How can it not be normal to be upset when somebody has assaulted you in whatever type of way? How is it not normal to be upset about it? It's like, you know, this day and time, people kind of want you to mask your feelings or give you a time limit. Like, oh, that happened 5 years ago. She shouldn't even still be upset about it. Why is she still mad about that? That's not normal. A person is allowed to be mad, you know, until the day that they die about it. If they think about that and get angry, it's rightfully so. Nobody should tell you how to heal. You got to do what works for you. So if somebody is pushing the forgiveness thing on you, you do what works for you. You can't, you know, you are in control. You are in control of your healing. And if your healing comes with being able to be upset when you feel like it, then that's what it is. Nobody else is in control of that. You're in control of that. If you don't want to be around your perpetrator, you're in control of that. Nobody can try to force you to be around this person, even if this person didn't do something to you, but he tried to harm one of your children, one of your family members, or somebody in the community. You got a right to be like, nah, I don't want to be around him. And I'm not coming if you're going to have him dead. You got a right to do that. Nobody should be pushing anything on you and telling you how you should express how you feel about something, and they shouldn't be giving you like a time limit, and say this is how you should heal, and this is the order that your healing should go in. You do what works for you. Don't ever let somebody call you to be like prematurely forgiving someone. That's basically how predators get the opportunity to be habitual offenders. We know that he did it or she did it, but, you know, we're going to forgive him. You know, we're going to hold a grudge. They can still come around. And then that's how the same thing happened to your niece. And then that's how it happens to your cousin, because we forcing people to forgive, and we forcing people to allow people in our spaces when it's actually not safe. It's like, you know, why are you trying to create an unsafe environment? That's something, especially when it comes to children and disabled and elderly people, we should always be trying to keep our environments as safe as possible for them, because it's only rightfully so we owe that to them. So when it comes to moving forward with the healing, like, you are allowed to sit still, to focus on yourself, and to not focus on how you should feel about your perpetrator. It's a whole journey. You're going to be on that journey on your own. You may have people to assist you. You may have people to comfort you. But ultimately, you're on that journey. So nobody can tell you how you shouldn't do it if that's not working for you. You have to, in order to heal, you gotta, and you need to feel it. If you're upset, you need to feel upset. If you're angry, you need to feel angry. Like, if you repress it and say, okay, I'm just not gonna think about it because they're telling me that I shouldn't focus on that and that I should, you know, be cool with this person, but I should forgive this person. But it's not giving you a chance to even, like, focus on what happened, to deal with your emotions, and to move forward from it. So whatever way is beneficial for you, you in control of that. So, you know, you're free to heal. However, the Creator gives you the ability to heal. And everyone is different. No healing is going to take place the exact same way. I've seen people say, I'm a survivor. How did those women come out 20 years later? Okay, you a survivor. That don't make you the, like a, you know, they talk like it's levels to it, like you a master survivor. So you know this is the best way for a person, or you know that a person wouldn't do this if they were actually, you know, if they were actually assaulted. You're not going to come out 20 years later, I'm a survivor, and I was assaulted. There's no way I could have came out. That's you. You know what I mean? But I see people trying to police how people heal when people come out. That's not, you know what I mean? Everybody is different for everything in this world. I'm not going to react to the same. Like, if somebody slapped me, I might be able to just go on and not be combative. The next person might be ready to shoot them. It's like, you can't tell a person, you got to heal like I do. No, they don't. They got to heal the best way for them. So, we talked about the double standard when it comes to boys. We talked about the self-defense. We talked about normalizing therapy. If you need therapy, go get it. It don't matter who is in your ear saying, girl, you don't need to go to no therapy. We don't go to therapy. No, go to therapy if you need to go to therapy. But
that's it.
Exactly. So I wanted to see, before we talk about the since it's a full moon, that's why we was definitely trying to do this show on a full moon, because of the energy that the full moons carry. So we wanted to do a release ritual with everybody. But before we start with that, we wanted to see if anyone had any questions or any comments because, you know, we love to talk to you all. We don't want to just be talking. We want to get some feedback. We want to get some suggestions. Like, we trying to do this thing together. We're not trying to, you know, be in control. This Sis Radio Show, you know, she the host. She got guest speakers. But we want to talk to the people, and we want to see how y'all feeling. We want to see what y'all thinking. We want you to share suggestions with us. You know, if you've been through something, and you know how you move forward with your healing, if you think that it would be helpful to share that with other people, and you don't have to say who you are, you can remain anonymous, but if you knew that something worked for you, please feel free to share. Let's see. Okay, we have one caller who has something. I'm gonna unmute your line. 804-296. I'm gonna unmute your line now. So your line is open.
You're on. Welcome. Feel free. They may have their line muted.
Yeah, it must have been an accident. So let me mute their line again.
Here we go.
Oh.
Here we go.
Okay.
Yes.
Greetings,
ladies. I want to speak on this. I was at our cousin's funeral, and I was sitting, you know, talking with some family members, and I had discovered that three of my family members said they had been raped. So I asked, I said, why didn't y'all speak and say something? Why you wait so long just to say something? And it kind of hurt, and still to this day, they hadn't done anything. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But they still... Two of them still be around the family members that did this. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's only so much I can do. First, they have to present what they want done.
Right.
So you can feel the tension when that person come around them. I sat back and I observed. Like when I had family functions, I sat back and observed because my grandkids go there. And guess what, honey? Not happening. Mm-hmm. I don't care who this is, brother, sister, uncle. It ain't going to happen because guess what? I would be the one to hurt them. Really. I would kill them if it did happen. But like I say, I watch. It ain't going to happen. Not on my watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe if they, you see that they're uncomfortable.
Yeah, you
if
can see
they not presenting anything.
Yeah, you can see that they're uncomfortable, but they... You know, they'll talk about the certain ones, but certain people, and some people not going to do nothing. I can't do nothing. It's for them to get somebody on their side to do it. You know what I'm saying? I can only do so much, really.
Right. But if they're uncomfortable, if they're uncomfortable, you might can be the one to say, if nobody else is going to do it, you might have to be the one to give them the strength and say, look, I noticed that, you know, when he come around, y'all uncomfortable. This ain't right. How about we set it up where he no longer welcome to come to our family function?
But
talk to them and say, do y'all want, you know, y'all want to have this conversation?
Well, I know it happened there, but once it happened, it was at a funeral, you know, you can only do so much at the church, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. And this was out of town, honey, not in town, trust me.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, out of town.
So basically what you were saying was the predator was at that function that you were at, and they made that known to you, and because the predator doesn't come to where you are, you want them to make it clear to the people that's having the function. I got what you're saying.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
But it can be, you know, like when you go to church, you know, when you're at the church dinner, what can you do? You know what I'm saying? What can you do? I'm out of
Well,
Well, and I understand exactly what you're saying, but however, the men in that family or whomever that was in charge of that function, that purse told you that someone did that, I would say, look, let's go to the head that's in control of this capacity and let's talk to them, because this person needs to be dealt with. Because, you know, suppose you're not around at a function and this predator is having their way, you know, so then that still gives the platform.
Yeah. So because, you know, to me, it's like an open platform to that, you know what I'm saying, person.
Wow.
We should be able to go, like, go ahead, sis.
No. You're fine. I was thinking.
No, I was just saying, like, we should always be able, like I was saying, it should always be people in the family that we can call when stuff like that happens and people know it and we seeing people uncomfortable and stuff. It should be always people that we could be like, hey, look, get him out of here, you know, and we explain it later, but tell him he got to leave. That's how our family should operate, but they don't operate like that. So we got to be one
they
to
don't because, you know, they try to be, you know, friends and family, you know, family, friends, you know, but it don't work with me because, honey, you know what, I don't want to say no more, but oh well, you know what, I say it. Because I sit back and I just say, it's a shame, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah, it is a shame. And I'm sorry that they got to experience that.
Yes.
Terrible. I'm sorry that they got to experience that.
Yeah, I know, but, oh, you know. When I'm going to get together, you know, two of them, I want to talk to them anyway, you know. Because, like I said, this got to be handled. You know what I'm saying? It got to be handled.
Right.
It do.
It do.
This can't be continuous. Like you say, it's just like it's a spell on, you know, family. You know what I'm saying? And it can keep the vision. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's so sad.
That's true.
I know exactly what you're saying, but we appreciate your comment because it's probably, you know, it's a million other families going through the same thing. Funerals, cookout, family reunions, people uncomfortable.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, because I just sit back and, you know, some of them come, and when they come, the other person be inside, guess what? The other person going to be, where they going to be? Outside, okay? Because they try to stay away from them, you know. Or either they'll leave early, you know. Oh, Lord Jesus. But ladies, I will talk to you too, okay, personally.
Well, thank you so much. Right, do that, please.
And reach out to us. We'll be here. Okay. And we appreciate you. We send love and peace to you.
Same to you, ladies. Thank you much. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a – we appreciate that. And she sounds, you know, she sounds like, we appreciate that because somebody got it, especially, you know, the elders, the older people in the family, they really got to be the ones, too, to be like, look, you know, because sometimes when they speak, it's different and it's received different.
That's
it. Take it serious. And, you know, some elders, they just not going to play around with you. So she sound like she don't play around. And we need more elders like that in the family to be like, look, we're about to have this conversation. We're going to break this ice. We're not about to keep allowing this to happen. We're going to put a stop to it. We got to start putting a stop to it. And we should be like able to look. She an elder, right? She should be able to go to nephews, brothers, whoever. Look, man, get Rodney up out of here. You know he making these women uncomfortable. Man, get him up out of here. And they should get him up out of there in like 1 minute flat. He should be out of here. I don't care if it's a funeral. You know what I'm saying? He should be out of there.
Absolutely. So, I agree 100%. And
we appreciate her calling in.
Absolutely. And then, too, when people bring things like that, they have to be ready to know that people are not just going to accept it. So if this is what you're going through and it's taunting you and it's creating a problem for you, then you're going to a person that's going to solve that problem, then you got to be willing to ride it all the way out. Don't back out. Take care
right.
of these predators. Get gone.
Right. Have to.
No.
We got another caller with something to say, and their number 540-388. So I'm going to unmute the line.
Hello, peace sisters. How you doing?
Peace.
All right. I just wanted to kind of speak on a subject real quick of the subject of I just can't understand how family members can allow a person to come around family functions knowing that that person violated somebody. And I'm speaking on domestic violence at this moment. You have family members that allow, you know, a certain person come around knowing that that person used to abuse one of your family members. And they just, it's, and what I can't understand, and this is another thing that bothers me, the fact that, okay, I was in a situation where, like I said, I had it bad for a person that I was after. I wanted to kill because they abused a family member of mine. And everybody knew the situation, For years, no, I couldn't stand the person. I didn't want to be around them. Family members still allowed this person to come around family functions, knowing how I felt and knowing what he did, you know what I'm saying? And then not only that, the thing about it that gets me, as soon as I reacted, I was the one that was in wrong. Everybody want to grab me and say, oh, you wrong, you know what I'm saying? This is not the time, the place. Okay, well, y'all the ones that let him come here, keep keying all up in his face, continue allowing him to come around in my space, when he shouldn't be there knowing what he did. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm the one wrong when all this go down and all they keep telling me, oh, you need to let it go and let it go. You know, keep telling me I need to let it go. No, hell no, I ain't letting it go. You know what I'm saying? And every time he came around at family functions and I was around, I charged after him. Yes, I did. I charged after him every freaking time. And believe me, yeah, they stopped me every time. But if not, he would be a dead one. And you have no idea how long I plotted, for years, plotted to kill this man. You know what I'm saying? And they still allow him to still come around family, be around family functions and stuff. And to me, that kind of made me distance myself from them, because that kind of made me feel as though they don't give a damn about me, because if they did and didn't want me to get myself in trouble and didn't want me to suffer the way I was suffering, they wouldn't allow that to happen. They would speak up and be like, you know what, you got to get up out of here. Nah, we ain't allowing this. You know what I'm saying? Especially after I interrupted family functions all the time with my mouth and going after him and wanting to stab him, shoot him. You know what I'm saying? But they still allowed it. I could have got myself years in jail if the whole situation had followed through like I really wanted to. I could have got years in jail. You know what I'm saying? All because of what somebody did to a very close family member of mine. Killed this person. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Really abused this person and killed them. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand why I feel the way I feel about this person. And all they keep saying is, oh, leave it to God. And it, man, you know what? I'm trying to go there either with religion and so forth. But my whole thing is, don't come in my face to keep hollering about leave it to God and this God are handling this and that. Look, I want to handle it myself because you guys, y'all are men of the family.
Mm-hmm.
To me, y'all supposed to stick up for me. Y'all supposed to protect me at all costs. You know what I'm saying? You know that this person
That's
did
right.
what he did. So why did y'all continue letting him come around family and functions? They should have stopped it, nipped it in the bud from the get-go. But nope, they continue allowing him to come around, and I could have got myself in a world of trouble. But, you know, now I kind of, like I said, I never forgave and never will forgive for never, ever in my lifetime. But I have got a handle on myself far as being able to deal with the situation of learning and thinking that, okay, I got kids now, I got a husband now, you know what I'm saying, I got to live for, so, you know, he's not
right.
really worth it. You know what I'm saying? Even though
right.
it's a devil on the other side of me telling me, nah, fuck all that, you go for it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to deal with that every time I see this person. I have a devil, I mean, another person on my shoulder that's telling me, go for it, do it. You know what I'm saying? But then I have another side of me that's saying, you know, you got to think of your kids, your husband, you know what I'm saying, your life, and it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just bothering me the fact that your own family members will allow these predators, these abusers, and everything else to come around family functions knowing that they should not be there. These men and women need to stand up and speak out. They really
That's
need
right.
to stand up and speak out because if not, all it's going to do is continue allowing and causing issues because if anybody out there that's like me, a firecracker, whenever you see that person, who knows what might happen? You know what I'm saying? All them
right.
years I've planned on killing this man, and I mean, had journals, and I mean, I had everything figured out. You know what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
that's wrong. You know what I'm saying? That it got that far. It shouldn't have even got that far, first of all.
It shouldn't
but
have.
That's, no, it shouldn't. And it still bothers me, but I'm kind of dealing with it a little better than what I used to. But I just, you know, wanted to speak on the fact that these family members have to speak up. They have to stop
right.
allowing these predators and abusers to come around our family members, knowing that our family members are so uncomfortable with them being there. Speak up.
Right.
Yes,
it's like they're afraid to make a – they're afraid to make a – the perpetrator, they're afraid to make them uncomfortable and say, man, look, you got to go. At the expense of the family's sanity, safety, you know, like, you're willing to risk all of that for your family to still be able to have this person come around. That's
exactly.
real weak to me. Like, to me,
yep.
I just, like, I despise that type of stuff because it's like, where your strength at? Where you know, you, the men in the family, you're supposed to be protective. What you doing? You dapping the person up. Why you letting him come here? But then you the crazy one for not wanting this person around. Like, how sick is that? To me, that's like sick and twisted to keep putting you in a position like that. And
exactly.
once they saw how disturbing it was for you, to the point where you trying to attack this person and they still
exactly.
let this person come around, like, that say a whole lot.
Yeah, that's why.
That say a whole lot. So
myself,
if you present it. Yeah, exactly.
For yourself. And the person that was destroyed because of that other person's sickness, you know, and that
right.
control
exactly.
the family members. It consumed them so bad that they had no remorse for you or your situation, your childhood, your adulthood, your current situation. So this person is what to them? Nothing, but you're everything. So why not treat you like you're everything? Why not protect you like you're everything? You know, they can't halfway do it. It's either you're going to do the job or not.
Yeah, and then the worst part about it, to keep telling me that I need to forgive him and let it go. What the fuck?
Sure.
Hell no, I ain't got to forgive him. And hell damn no, I ain't got to let it go. No, right. You are, y'all are the men of the family supposed to protect the family. You guys are the ones supposed to make sure that I'm comfortable at any given time. Not this bastard.
Right.
The hell with his feelings. Fuck his feelings.
And it's like, that's no respect for the ancestors. Like, you know.
Exactly.
That's just too much for me. It's too much.
And you know what I'm saying? And my family member, my mom is dead. You know what I'm saying? Because they, you know what I'm saying, allowed this sucker to, you know, do this and didn't act on it back then. Nobody acted on it. And then still allowed this sucker to come around, family, fuck this man.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say fuck all of them. I'm sorry, but fuck all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm an angry-ass person right now because every time I think about it, it just makes me angrier and angrier. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not right.
It's not. You rightfully angry. You know, your family member is no longer here because of this person.
Exactly.
And
I'm
they
not
still can't find it within them to keep that person away.
Exactly.
After somebody is gone, you still can't find it in you to say, you no longer welcome. You know, I can't understand it. And one thing about it, I'm glad that we will never put anybody in our families in that type of situation.
Nope, never.
We're going to always protect them at all costs. Yep. They'll never have to worry about being around somebody who did something to their loved one. We'll never put them in that position.
Nope, never.
Yep. You're supposed to protect them, and even if you're not around, you know, to protect that child or that grandmother or the brother or the son, there should be someone there at all times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right. Nobody should fumble the ball. That's serious.
Exactly.
So, sis, you get your pen and paper so that you can. So that you can write some things, too. And we appreciate you calling, and we love you.
We love you. Restoring energy to you, sister, and you know that we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you, sisters. Love you guys.
Love you too, sis. Did anyone else have any comments or anything to say?
Let's see.
We'll be happy to have some comments. We don't have any in queue. So that's so disheartening though that we gotta protect our phone. We need to do a better job protecting the family. Nobody should just be at these functions like this and the perpetrator just walking around and you got people upset, reliving bad, you know, emotions and things, and they just okay with it. That's not normal. But we're just not going to keep going along like it's normal just because they want to operate that way. We're not going along with it. We're not going along to get along. We got to do what's safe, and we got to do what's, you know, morally correct. So, if nobody has anything else to say, we're going to talk about like what we're about to do. So if you can get to like a quiet space, get yourself together. And if you need to take a couple of deep breaths, take a couple of deep breaths. So we can do the moon ritual. And the reason why we do the moon rituals is because on the full moons, you know, we're dealing with Mother Nature.
Yes.
At the time for a moon, the energy is very intense. It's very powerful. So the Creator gave us all of these tools to use. So we got to take advantage of it. We are in sync with nature. So we have to take advantage of all of the opportunities that we are given with being in sync with nature. Full moon is a time to remove things. It's a time to let go. It's a time to release. You want to release the negative energies. And it's time to, like, that you use to, after you release, you re-energize yourself. So you can think of, like, say if you're thinking about the river, you know, on a full moon, the tide is usually high. So you have the beach, right? You have the tide coming up and the just washing the water up. It's like cleansing the beach. So, like, that's how you got to think about it in relation to nature. It's a time for cleansing. It's a time to get rid of things that no longer serve you a purpose. Whatever you have outgrown, it's time to release it. So what we do, and sometimes we go to the river, if we're able to go to the river. If we're able to go to the river, we go to the river and we light candles, we say our prayers, we do our meditations, we do all of that, and, you know, we see the benefit, we see the direct benefit that comes from doing our prayers and putting our energy in certain places at the time of the full moon. So what we want to do is have everybody, like, you know, clear your space, clear your mind, take a couple of deep breaths, you know, wherever you are, just try to relax. And if you have a candle, light a candle. Just, you know, set the mood, because you are about to focus on your healing. You're about to focus on releasing.
Yeah.
And what you could do is get your pen and paper and get ready to write down what you want to release, whether it is a thought, if it's a negative thought that you've been having that is, you know, has a effect on you. You can write down that thought. If it is a feeling that you've been having that no longer serves its purpose, you don't want to have that feeling anymore, you can write down that feeling. You can write down certain emotions. You can write down situations. You can write down people.
Can
you elaborate? Right.
Yes. So, and to add to what you were saying, sis, that moon, if that moon has the power to pull the ocean tide and to cleanse that sacred place and that water, then that should tell us that this full moon experience, this ritual, will then cleanse our spirit. You know, it will allow us to tune into our inner world. Now, as she was just saying, you want to cleanse any energies, whether it's when you come home and the kids are always keeping the house a mess, you know, and you're tired of it and it doesn't seem to be changing or getting better, then instead of you holding that in, put it on that paper. And then as you put it on that paper and then you continue on with the next steps that we're going to give you, then you switch your mindset and you believe that it's going to happen, the greater is going to happen. You know, whether it's your job and you're tired of going there, you're tired of the things, you know, if you're always nagging and fussing and crying and complaining about that place of employment, when you go to work, you're carrying that energy there, so that's what you're going to get. So you have to cleanse it. You have to cleanse that space. So, you know, and now is the time to do it. If you have the paper and the pen, write down those things that no longer serve you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you feel like you're a man target and, you know, they're always after you, you know, for whatever the reason is, but then nothing comes up good for it, release it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you feel like you and your mate always arguing about finances, release it. If you feel like it's something with you and your church member, release it. You know, it's your sacred space. And then, yes, we want you to breathe. We want you to breathe in through your nose, suck up that air, look up and suck it up, and then breathe it out, release it, let it go. And as we're doing that, you know, as she said, the full moon is a time to release and receive. We need to let go of the old so we can grab onto the new intentions that we want to manifest. At the time of this beautiful full moon tonight, it's a time for celebration. It's a time for greater manifestations. It's a time for us to move forward. You know, sometimes it feels like we're drained. We need to be restored. Now is your time.
Exactly. You can get your list ready. You know, if you just, I release whatever it is you want to release. I release depression. I release anxiety. I release feeling hopeless. I release feeling powerless. Whatever is holding you back, whatever is not beneficial to you in your life, you want to release it. And this is a great way to do it. We definitely put this into place, and we know what we experience when we release certain things. And when you write it, it's not just like, it's not just the full moon energy that's so intense. It's when you write it. When you write it and you letting it go and you put it in your mind, manifest into a reality. If you're telling yourself, I'm letting this go, and you give an energy into letting it go, and like you're doing a full ritual, and not that this is something that you just have to do one time. The next full moon, you know, if you still feel like you're still struggling with it, keep doing it. The energy is intense. The Creator gives us these tools. So when it's a full moon, go into your prayer mode. Get your prayer sessions going. However you want to line it up. If you got a prayer mat, get your prayer mat down. Have certain times that you say your prayers on the full moon. Light your candles, you know, your incense. Clear your energy, however you clear your energy. Clear the energy at your house. Just, you know, come home. If it's better for you to do it at a river, if it's better for you to stand outside and plant your bare feet on the grass, whatever the environment that you need that is a healing environment for you, make it happen. Set it up however your divine energy tells you to set it up, and go into prayer. At the same time, while you're writing and you're releasing, affirm it in your mind, you know, that these things are being released. The depression is being released. Put it into your mind so that it will manifest into your reality. So if everybody has their list ready, what you can do, and I know, you know, we haven't been talking about the list but for a few minutes. So if you're not ready to get rid of your list, then you don't have to do it right now. If you feel like you need to put more thought into it and you want to add some things to your list, feel free to wait until later. But you can either burn your list or either you can wash away your list. So you can get rid of it with fire or water. Either one, you know, whatever you have access to, whatever you're most comfortable with. That's why I said to have a cup of water near, you know, make sure if you burn it, you know, you're being safe about it. So nothing is catching on fire while you're trying to release. But you can take a lighter right to that list. If you have your list available and you're ready to release, you can take a lighter to it. And, you know, put it in a sink so it won't start a fire. But burn that list right on the way. And get rid of all of those things. You know, it's just a metaphor. You're burning away everything that you want gone out of your life. It no longer exists. Watch it go up in flames. Watch the smoke. Watch it go down the drain. But watch it leave you. And while you're watching it go up in flames or while you're watching it wash away, just keep affirming that I'm releasing this. This is being released. This no longer serves no purpose in my life. This emotion no longer serves a purpose in my life. This anger no longer serves a purpose. This anxiety no longer serves a purpose. This person no longer serves a purpose in my life. They don't deserve to be taking up space mentally. They no longer serve a purpose. Whatever it is that no longer serves a purpose, just say it to yourself and be happy that you have released it. Say your prayers, affirm it. However you pray, you know, do your meditations. Do your meditations. And when you meditate, put it in your mind that it's being released. Picture it. Picture yourself being released from it. Picture your life without it and move forward. Two positive things that will help you flourish in life. And, you know, ask for the strength. If it's people that you have to, do away with, the Creator is definitely going to give you other relationships that are beneficial. So even if you have to lose people that are toxic in your life, you're definitely going to have replacements that's going to serve your life and your family's life a great benefit, because the Creator is definitely not going to give us something that is of no benefit. So once you release, even if there's things that you may be worried about, how am I going to do this or how am I going to do that if I release, you have to put it into your mind to write it that, this is a restoration and rejuvenation for me. And whatever is to be on my divine journey, it will be. And the Creator will make it possible.
Yeah. He isn't giving us any problems or afflictions that he can't take care of. We just have to be willing to let him go.
Right. Have to be willing to let it go. So if you can focus on your healing tonight, and releasing whatever it is that you need to release for the rest of the night, like not just at this moment, but for the rest of the night, on throughout all of the night, throughout the middle of the night, every time you wake up, if you wake up and go to the bathroom, just think about it, think about what you're releasing. I let it go. I'm focusing on the positive things in my life. I'm releasing
it.
What no longer serves a purpose. And just, throughout the night, continue with your prayers, continue with your affirmations. And then on the new moon, we're going to let you all know when the new moon is on our next show, so that on the new moon, that's the time to focus on your desires and to focus on setting your intentions on what you need to focus on and moving forward with your healing. So this moon, this full moon, is to focus on what you want to release. On a new moon, we're going to focus on what you want to see manifest in your life so that you can have a positive, good quality of life for the rest of your life. So
that's it.
If anybody has any questions, comments, please feel free. We want to know, we want to know how you're feeling, if you appreciate the show, if you have any suggestions, if you have any comments, questions, anything, please feel free before we close the session out. And if you would like to, keep it private, you can message me or Sister LaToya on Facebook. My name is Rue on Facebook, R-O-O. My last name is Chi. And sis is LaToya Gray on Facebook.
Yeah.
And you can also email, sis, can you give me the email?
For the email,
Well, I can give you either one or two of my emails. I'll give you my email address is Latoya Comock, LatoyaComock at gmail.com. And then, give me just a second, because we do have an email for the, apologize for that. Oh, man. Give me just a second. I guess we'll come back. I'll give it to you before, I'll state it before the end of the show. I apologize for that.
Yeah, let me give my, I forgot to give my email. It's S, is in Sam, Baylor, B-A-Y-L-L-O, B, I'm sorry, B, B A. Okay, let me start over. It's S is in Sam, Baylor, B-A-Y-L-O-R, Payton, P-E-Y-T-O-N. So it's S Baylor Payton at live.com. That's S Baylor Payton at live.com. So
okay,
we want this full moon to be beautiful, and we want healing to take place. We want releasing the rest of the night. Like, this is your healing time. You have permission to heal however you choose. However you choose, no one is in control but you.
Absolutely. The email is Juas, J-U-A-S-S-E-E-D, live, at gmail.com. juasfeedlive@gmail.com. I agree, sister. We do invoke tonight healing, protection, charging of the energy, dream work before us, the gifting of prophecy, the gifting of divination, celebration. You know, we draw out great energies. We increase. We ask for an increase in our insight, and we ask for raised awareness in our lives. And before we close out this, I would like to add, and to the listeners, just a little small piece that I wanted to recite for everyone that's listening, and myself and my sis that is listening right now. We are moving forward toward our highest and greatest good. We are releasing everything that no longer serves us, and we're embracing our ever-evolving journey. So we're releasing these things. At whatever time you release them, you release them. But then also work on your affirmations and those things that you want to invoke by the new moon, because we're here for you. We are one. This is our show. We couldn't do it without our listeners. And for all of you that give us the feedback, we appreciate you. We're grateful for you. We bless you. And please know that we're here. We're available.
And I have, before we close out, we have someone who does have a comment now. I see it in queue. So we want to bring this person on. The number is 443-535. I'm going to unmute the line right now. So the line is open. Peace.
Hello?
Peace.
Hey, sister.
Peace. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. I'm hearing y'all organizing and pushing like this.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Feels good.
Thank
you. Yeah, because, you know, I'm out here in the city, and, you know, all I see all day long is women being abused. You know, bad. And so I feel like at this stage, you know, based on pure just living where I live at, I mean, on pure survival, y'all have to keep this show going. There has to be a part three and a part four and five. And I want to emphasize the martial arts the firing ranges practice. The for those sisters who got felonies, knives, carrying knives or pepper spray. Collective traveling, you know, we travel in groups, at least in twos. And if a sister has a problem with her other significant other or whatever, you know, isolating that sister and being her backbone at those times. Yeah, because I mean, I'm really disgusted with the world because all day, every day, I'm seeing sisters beat down. I mean, into the dust.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in order for y'all to survive, man, y'all gonna have to keep this show up just on pure survival alone. Like, this would need to be done. So I'm looking forward to a part three, and I got my candle lit, and I burnt my little paper up, and I like all that. That's what time it is.
We appreciate that, and I know that this brother is staying in solidarity with the sisters, and I know that, you know, he has put himself in, like, uncompromising situations to protect sisters that he don't even know on the street. Just, you know, random things going on. He puts himself out there, and he's one of the few brothers that I know that will do that. So we love and appreciate you for that, brother.
Yes, we do.
No doubt.
Well, we appreciate
you. Thank you.
I just want to say to you, brother, also, thank you for listening, and thanks for encouraging the sisters on your end to call in to get what we're, you know, mm-hmm. working and our mission to accomplish. So we send peace and love to you, and thank you again for always being a powerful force for our sisters.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
No doubt.
All right, brother. All right, you have
peace.
A good night. Peace.
Have a good night.
And we have another caller, 804-296. I'm going to open your line. Your line is open.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I just want to say you all had a wonderful call tonight, and I appreciate everything that you all do. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for being a positive force and listening and always, you know, being willing to give us feedback. And, again, this is our show. You know, not just Jewah. The Jewah is a part of the community, and the community wouldn't be nothing without us coming together as one. So we appreciate you, sister.
Mm-hmm. All right, you all have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Powerful week.
So we look forward to, like, we don't just want to, like, you know, us do the full moon ritual tonight and then, you know, we don't talk about it again. We want feedback about how this ritual went for you. You know, was it effective for you? Was it beneficial? So when we do our next call, when we do the part three, we want feedback. And we'll also be doing the new moon ritual because we have to release it. But then we have to move forward with the intentions that we want to set, with what we want to see manifest. So I give gratitude and give thanks to everybody on the call. Give gratitude for all the healing that's going to take place tonight, all the releasing that's going to take place tonight.
Yes.
If you have your water, if you have like mason jars or you have something to put water in, you can set your water outside and you can leave it outside overnight, you know, just close it up so that no bugs get in it. Leave it outside, come back in the morning, bring it back in the house. It's moon water. It's very refreshing. Just like you can sit things outside in the sun for like, you know, the sun took the water or whatever. It's like a some type of solar purification. The moon has the same benefits. So it will purify your water overnight, and it's so smooth going down, and you will get that energy, that powerful healing moon energy that the Creator has given us. You'll be able to drink it, and it's very beneficial. So, you know, if you have stones, you can sit it outside to get charged up by the full moon energy. So, you know, you wear your stones around your neck or whatever. It's, you know, just whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, do your prayers. It's warm outside, so if you could sit outside and do your prayers and your meditation under the full moon light, I'm telling you, you're not going to regret it. It's so beneficial. It's such
powerful.
A healing experience. Yeah, very radiating, very powerful experience. So we wish you all peace and blessings on your journey this evening, tonight, and we look forward to speaking with you all again in the near future.
And if you need us, you know, throughout the week, or if you need us at any given time, you have our point of contact. Just reach out to us, and we'll get with you, and what we can do to help you move forward, we're here, willing, and ready to make that happen for you. And we send peace and love and a powerful rest of the week for you. Until we meet again, you have a beautiful night. Enjoy this beautiful moon.
Ashe. Ashe.